Please rise. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The word of God upon which we meditate this evening is taken from the Epistle of James, chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. These are the words. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, who himself did not react in anger when he was reviled, did not revile in return, fellow redeemed in his most precious blood. They are decidedly different messages, obviously, actually, if you care to pay attention. There are two very different messages that are proclaimed during the Christmas season every year. In one, people are told that the gifts that they receive are dependent upon their goodness. They're told that the gift giver is always watching, and that he knows when they're sleeping, he knows when they're awake, he knows when they've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. It's a simple message, really. Be good, do good, and you will be rewarded. It's decidedly work righteous. It's really not all that different from a similar message. Be a good person, and you'll go to heaven. It's also completely and totally false. If it were true, then no one would ever receive a gift. Yet everyone does. No doubt some believe when they open their presents that they have in some fashion earned them by being good. The other message that's proclaimed this time of year says that gifts aren't dependent upon one's goodness, but upon the giver's love. People are told that despite the fact that they have been evil, the real gift giver, the one that really does know and see everything, sent someone else to pay the debt. Moreover, the gift was freely given by the giver to everyone because everyone is wicked. No one is good. The second message is all about the love of the giver and has nothing to do with the goodness of the recipients. But there's still more to the second message. The gift giver so loved us, he tells us, that he made plans to adopt us into his family from eternity. The gift giver has made peace with us all by means of the gift of his son. Now all of us have received this greatest gift of all. We are right with God through faith in his son, Jesus. Still, to a degree, we await the full enjoyment of that gift. Because while we live here on earth, we're troubled with a sinful nature. And we often do what displeases our God. We daily confess our sins and seek the giver's forgiveness. We wait earnestly for the one who died for us, to make us God's adopted children, to return in power and great glory. We look forward to spending eternity apart from sin in the new heavens and the new earth. But while we live our lives in expectation of that day, we strive to do it in a way that pleases the giver, which in a way brings us back to those first two messages. Why is it that we strive to live godly lives? Is it because we want to stay on the gift giver's good side? Is it because we're trying to be rewarded by the giver? Or is it because our future has been assured by the gift of the giver, and we wish to express our faith in love and thanksgiving? It is decidedly the latter, not the former. So also this evening, we will strive to slow our wrath, our anger, not to earn favor with God, not to be good for goodness sake, but in faith and out of joyful hearts for the gift God has given us. May God the Holy Spirit help us to grow in our faith and love. May He also grant us spiritual wisdom and maturity, that we learn to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Amen. So what's the best gift that you ever received? Think about that for a second. What would you say is the best gift you ever got, whether on a birthday or at Christmas? Can you pick one out? Is there a best gift of all? God has given us many gifts, but the biggest and best of them all is a living faith that trusts in Jesus Christ. In the words that lead up to these, we're reminded by James of the source of what he calls every good and every perfect gift. He says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." I've received many gifts in my lifetime. Many of those gifts have been used up, broken, discarded, and long since forgotten. Still others I possess to this day, for which I'm grateful. Because He who is called the Father of lights, because He made the two great lights, the one to rule the day, the sun, and the one to rule the night, the moon, has given me what I have. And for it, I am grateful. And He's also the source of every good and every perfect gift that you possess. But there's still one more important than all the rest. And that gift is described in the next verse, and how God gave it to you. James 1:18, "Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." God didn't give us faith to trust in Jesus because we were worthy, or because we were deserving, or because we had earned it or deserved it by being good for goodness sake. It was God's grace, His undeserved love, that determines to give us the new birth long before, in fact, we were ever born. He determined to give us this new birth by the word of truth, as it says right here, so that we should grow up and we should mature. With that in mind, James continues by writing to the believers of every age the words you have on the back of the bulletin. "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." God would have us exercise our faith. He wants us to think about what's best for our faith, and the health of the Holy Spirit act accordingly so that we grow up and mature. I wonder how many gifts that I ruined in my lifetime because I didn't listen. When I opened the Christmas present on Christmas Eve, my father or mother no doubt would say, "Now be careful with that. Don't leave it outside where it can get rained on. It will be ruined. If you don't put that away, someone's going to step on it and they're going to break it." Crunch. I was often so enamored with the gift that I didn't listen to my parents' admonition to take care of it. If I had only listened, perhaps I would still have some of those cherished gifts today. When the Spirit of God urges us as believers to be quick to listen, He's first and foremost talking about listening to Him when He speaks to us in His Word. If there's one thing that gets in the way of our maturing as Christians, it's this attitude that says, "I know it all already," or at least I know what I need to know. But we are to be quick, earnest, rapid to listen to our God and to those who bring us His Word. When we aren't, we get in the way of our own growth in faith and understanding, we remain, in essence, like children. So the very first concern is to be listening to our God. Which brings us to the second admonition. We are called upon to be slow to speak. Now that's a challenge. We all know people who just can't seem to stop talking. We feel like we've accomplished the miraculous if we manage to slip in a word edgewise when they're taking a breath. But we are urged to be slow to speak, to think before we open the hole on our face. The fact of the matter is that no one learns anything by talking, but by listening. No one makes a worse listener than a person who won't stop talking. Let's take a lesson from the Virgin Mary. She sets us a very good example. When we read the account of Jesus' birth from Luke chapter 2, we hear not a word from Mary, not a single word. We hear from the shepherds, we hear from the angel. But we're only told of Mary that she listened. She thought about what had been said. She treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. She was indeed slow to speak. Can we be? Can we be silent and meditate upon the Word of God this Advent? Let's take some time to do just that. Let's earnestly pray that God the Holy Spirit would move us to take the time to quietly think about what our God has done for us and has revealed to us in His Word. If we do, we will most certainly grow in our faith and in Christian maturity. Which brings us to the third admonition, and this is the one that's to be a focus of our meditation this evening. As children of God, we are called upon to be slow in one other way. Slow to anger. It seems that if you pay attention here, these all go together. When we don't listen to God or replace listening with talking, then there's bound to be frustration and anger. We know it by different names, and it doesn't go away during the Christmas season. We call it frustration, irritation, annoyance, aggravation, crankiness, impatience. But those are all just different ways of saying, I'm angry. It's something that I personally have often had a problem with. And perhaps you do too. I'm heading out to take care of something when another car pulls out in front of me and slows down, making me slam on my brakes. My immediate reaction is to talk to myself in the car. Really? Are you kidding me? Idiot! Is the other driver being discourteous? Maybe. Is it worth being angry about? No. I'm in a hurry at the grocery store, needing just one thing. It's all I got. One thing. One blessed thing. Someone scoots ahead of me into the express lane with a full cart of groceries. Seriously, jerk. But what about when I have a full cart? And all the other lines are full? You see, when we get angry, we stop looking at people the way we should. Like Jesus does, as people for whom He died. And we may excuse our anger because it's been a long day, or a long week, or a long month, or you fill in the blank, but there really is no excuse. I find that very often my own anger is a problem because I have decided that I'm more important, because I want something. Anger arises other times from jealousy, from insecurity. It arises when we put ourselves first or are in a hurry, unnecessarily. And anger quickly leads to hurtful words and hateful thoughts. I realize that there's such a thing as righteous anger, but let's be honest, our anger is rarely, if ever, righteous. So rather than excusing our sin, our anger, God, help us to resemble the tax collector in Jesus' parable and pray instead, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me, Lord. Help me during the Advent season to step on the brake of my anger. Help me to be patient. Help me to see people like you do. Help me to control my thoughts. Help me not to excuse my sin or blame someone else for my wicked thoughts and words. Help me because the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Where does that anger come from? It doesn't come from the new man. It comes from our fallen nature. And it comes up quick, and we're quick to excuse it. Angry, hurtful, proud. They're all attitudes that our God does not consider to be righteous, good, pleasant. And they're not fitting for the child of God. We wish to live lives of thankfulness to the giver for his son. If we're to do that, then we're going to need to take the time to petition him for further gifts, like patience and long-suffering. Only then, with the help of God the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, can we slow down our wrath as his forgiven children. How can I thank thee, Lord, for all thy loving kindness that thou hast patiently borne with me in my blindness? When dead in many sins and trespasses I lay, I kindled, holy God, thine anger every day. It is thy work alone that I am now converted, or Satan's work in me thou hast thy power asserted. Thy mercy and thy grace that rise afresh each morn have turned my stony heart into a heart newborn. O Father God of love, hear thou my supplication. O Savior, Son of God, grant me thy full salvation. And thou, O Holy Ghost, be thou my faithful guide, that I may serve thee here and there with thee abide. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. The offerings will be gathered. Christ, Son of God and Son of David, we look forward in joyful hearts to the approaching celebration of your birth, grateful that you came here as one of us to lay down your life a ransom for sinners. You are our God, our everlasting King, and yet that you might rule sinners like us with grace and forgiveness, you left your throne above and appeared here in weakness, poverty, and humility. With perfect obedience, you kept the law in our stead. In great anguish of soul, you bore our sin. In the great suffering which finally ended in death, you were even punished in our place. We praise and adore you, Holy Jesus, for the precious gift of yourself, your very life for our salvation. Hear our prayers and hymns of praise as we lift our voices to you. This Advent season, enter our hearts with joy and peace and with all the spiritual blessings we need. Our Savior, we know that it is not the will of our Father that any should perish, but that all should be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Fill the world with the gospel's joyful sound that hearts everywhere may reach out by faith to receive the blessed kingdom you've brought.
and together with us enjoy your gracious rule of mercy and forgiveness. In your great love, prepare us for your coming. Help us to welcome you as you come to us in your word, which grants our salvation, and in your sacraments, which seal our pardon. Make us ready through genuine repentance to welcome you when you come again in power and great glory on the last day. We confess that we have often been self-willed, turning back again and again to our sinful ways. Do not, on account of our sins, rule us with a rod of iron, but rule in our hearts with your love and grace. Grant that our names may be forever recorded in your book of life and blot out our transgressions. Help us to see ourselves as willing servants of your gospel and others as those for whom you have died, that with righteous lives and loving hearts, we will ever praise you as Lord and Savior to others. To the glory of your name, we make these requests. Blessed are you, O Lord God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, and justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet, in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him.
Please be seated. We'll continue with the next hymn.